8 p.m. at the Star Bar, 214 Star Street in the heart of Bushwick, Brooklyn. There'll be great music, both live and mixed, and great company in an incredible progressive space in the community. That's the Party for Peace in Columbia to benefit the Movement for Peace in Columbia, Saturday, October 1st from 8 p.m. to who knows when at the Star Bar. See you then.
This is DJ Hard-Hitting Harry, producer and co-host of Haitian All-Stars Radio, heard right here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Tune in for a special day and time on Saturday, October 8th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as we broadcast live for the WBAI October Fun Drive. Join us as we raise funds as well as play great music that Team Haitian All-Stars is known for. We look forward to your valued and continued support of WBAI on behalf of our radio show, Haitian All-Stars. To make a contribution, call 516-620-3602 or visit give2wbai.org. Don't miss Haitian All-Stars Radio in a special day and time, Saturday, October 8th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM, your community station.
My name is Kofi, and I'm an intern at WBAI to help ensure that the station will continue to inform, entertain, and educate the listeners in a unique and critical view on politics, art, music, literature, health, and culture. Please support our upcoming fall fun drive. What makes WBAI unique from most radio stations is that most of all funding for the station is from you, the listeners. So you can definitely have an impact on the well-being of the station beyond being a loyal listener. Just by donating $25, you could become a member of WBAI and be eligible to vote on the local station board. The fun drive begins on Monday, October 3rd, and the phone number to call in is 516-620-3602. Or give to, that's the number to, WBAI.org.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, encouraging you to register today for State of the Black World Conference 4, scheduled for November 16th through the 20th in Newark, New Jersey, hosted by Mayor Roz J. Baraka. One of the great national, international gatherings of black people in the 21st century, organized around the theme, It's Nation Time Again, Racial Healing and Collaboration for Black Empowerment with Danny Glover, Susan Taylor, Dr. George Frazier, Dr. Julianne Malvo, Dr. Mark Lamont, Mont Hill, Jaziri X, Nataki Cambone, and leaders of the Movement for Black Lives, the Global Reparations Movement, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's State of the Black World Conference 4, November 16th through the 20th in Newark, New Jersey. For further information and to register today, visit the website ibw21.org. That's ibw21.org or call 888-774-2921.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York at 99.5 FM. It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello, hackers. Good evening.
Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Wow, you sound really good. And Jim's over there in the
Hello.
In the cheap seats. And You sound great on our new cable line, Bernie.
Oh, well, it's the Time Warner voice over IP. Well, hey, it would probably still sound better over a Verizon plain old telephone system line, but this is better than a cell phone.
It's better than nothing. So just remember that, folks. Well, everything you hear is better than nothing.
And we like to keep it different, you know. Yeah. It's good to have variety, and we like that sort of seasonal change with everything. It's like a wine pairing or something.
Yeah, or a rainy day in September, where the seasons are changing. And,
yes.
And we're seeing that right in front of us.
It goes well with cable VoIP.
Yes.
My favorite
Shall we get right into it? Well, you know, the debate happened on Monday. Some of you may not be aware of it, but I think we all are aware of it. And certain remarks were made, certain comments were said.
Oh.
And there was one comment in particular that kind of stuck in my craw. Where's someone's craw? Does anybody know what that is exactly?
No. I can find out.
No, don't
keep going.
Visit
I'll find
Wikipedia
out. No,
again.
No.
You've worn out your welcome over there.
No. I have credit there. They're charged. It's half off this week.
All right. Well, what happened was a certain candidate who shall remain nameless said that perhaps the person hacking various entities in this country was 400 pounds and sitting on a bed, and just basically offensive things like that are not really suited for a presidential candidate to be making. It's just why say such hurtful and disparaging things about other people? Well, of course we know why. It's genetic, you can't help it. But you know, it got a bunch of us thinking that this has gone on long enough. This guy is just telling one tall tale after another. And you know, I don't want to even get into the other candidates and their faults. And yeah, everyone has faults, and some people are nasty and not trustworthy and all that. But this in particular is something that that we decided, you know, it's time this just stops. And so today we issued
with ease. Yeah, it was not hard.
Well, no,
after
it wasn't
that,
hard. It
after
was,
that?
It was, yeah, it was kind of unanimous, but we issued a fatwa. It's not the word I'm looking for.
No.
Should I not use that
word?
That
was last. That was the other week.
Well, a challenge, perhaps? Yeah, a bounty.
A puzzle.
We basically said over Twitter that we would give $10,000, $10,000 to the first person who gets us a first look at Donald Trump's tax return. And boy, the Twitterverse exploded. Wow. We're practically a trending topic now. Everyone wants a piece of this, apparently, and people think it's a great idea. I sound like Trump now.
Well, somebody had to step up. I think everybody was waiting, and there wasn't really a definitive action that anybody really wanted to leap at, and we leapt. We grabbed the ring.
Well, it got personal, you know. When you start making disparaging remarks about hackers in certain ways, it's not going to be received well. So,
and why refute it? I mean, it's so common for people to go back and try to explain things and try to. No, we don't need to get into any of that. Let's just show what we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, even without the remark, I think, and I think I'm not alone in thinking this, that in some cases the truth needs to be told, and we've gotten our fair share of criticism already from people saying, oh my God, you're encouraging people to break the law. You know, the Boston Tea Party would have gotten you locked up. That was probably a felony back then, and all kinds of acts throughout history that were for the betterment of mankind in one way or another were illegal at the time. Now, we're not even saying go and break into a system, go and break the law to get this information. But what we are saying is that sometimes one act might appear to be something that is wrong, but it actually is for the greater good. And it turns out it's a courageous act. And damn it, people have the right to know just what they might be getting themselves into. And not revealing that information, I think, is by far the bigger crime. But, you know, it's also entirely possible to get this information without breaking any law. How? Well, first of all, Trump himself can release that information, and That's an easy 10 grand right there. Yeah, give it to us. You got 10 grand from us.
He's money grubbing. He'll go for that, right?
Any of Trump's kids, they probably have access to this information. It's a good chunk of change you probably won't get from your dad anytime soon.
Yeah, you don't have to tell him about it either.
You don't have to.
We'll protect that.
We will take that information to the grave, which may come a lot sooner than we were anticipating. But
speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as journalists, we do protect our sources. We have in the past. We will in the future.
Oh, that's for real.
And we even gave out our PGP key. So we're serious.
Yeah.
We're
as serious it's as official.
You can get
yeah.
about this.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of methods. It's basically about leaked information that is pertinent and something that the American people have a right to know. But we need to get the information before November 8th, obviously, for this to have any bearing whatsoever. Bernie, what do you think about all this?
I think it's a great prize. The tax return would be the best prize, but I like you, had a good laugh when I heard Donald Trump say during the presidential debate the other night, they were talking about cybersecurity. The question from the moderator was about cybersecurity.
Yeah, and you know, Bernie, we've been run through the ringer with this campaign cycle. I mean, hackers have been brought up more in this political run-up than we have ever seen.
Yeah, well,
it's true. Hillary
Clinton,
it's true.
Everybody knows it. True. Everybody knows it.
Why not?
Hillary was criticizing Donald Trump, the other candidate, for inviting the Russians to hack into the DNC, get Hillary's emails. But Trump said he didn't think, quote, anybody knows it was Russia that broke into the DNC's computers, and he said, quote, it could be Russia, but it could also be China. It could be lots of other people. It could also be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds. That was funny, but it plays as opposed to the stereotype of somebody who'd be sitting on their bed with a laptop would weigh 400 pounds.
It wasn't that funny, though. I mean, you know, if you're doing a comedy routine and maybe that's your punchline somehow, okay, but this is a guy running for president. To have to say things like that and to disparage people for one reason or another. You know, if he had said this, it could be a 12-year-old kid. Okay, you know, that at least is saying, wow, kids are really bright. Like, you know, he said about his young son. But he didn't mean this in a complimentary way. He meant it to tear people down. And he's so good at tearing people down. Thing is, people have to stop believing his opinion means anything at all.
And that kind of deflecting is exactly the kind of attitude the Russians have had, that posture, even today with the MH17 report. Same kind of deflecting and questioning and, well, it might not be true. It could be over here. It could be over there. Who knows really? I mean, gosh, it's so confusing.
All right. We get it.
Yeah, yeah.
This could go on all day. Well, so that's where we are right now. So we have issued this challenge. We'll see what happens. We will continue to report on it. And as we mentioned on Twitter, we will pay $10,000 to the first person who gets us the tax return that Donald Trump is not willing to release. The first person who gets that to us before it gets anywhere else, and it's got to be before November 8th. You know, it's a tall order. And it's not going to be that easy unless you already have it, you know, unless you already have access to it. And then it's just a question of it being leaked. We're not encouraging people to do anything illegal. But sometimes laws are broken, as I said, for the greater good. It's something to keep in mind. But we definitely don't want anybody to take risks. So if you don't know what you're doing, don't do anything stupid. That goes without saying. I don't think I should have to say it, but I am saying it. And
but this is journalistic and investigative work that I think a lot of people they've really pushed for, and I think sometimes you have to appeal to what is possible outside of those official channels and so on. So if there's any possibility that someone forgot, they maybe have a copy of it and it's under their Hustlers or wherever, under some other reading material or buried away in a trunk. By all means, now's the time. Timing is critical. Please.
Maybe you work in an accountant's office, and lo and behold, you have a famous client and a trashed file someplace that you can recover. Who knows? I don't know. It's possibly in a dumpster someplace.
We just wouldn't want it to go forgotten in time. It would be a terrible loss.
And for God's sake, we have to do something. All right, and as I said, I didn't say this. So I'm trying to say this. It's an amount payable in U.S. dollars, Bitcoin, or rubles.
Yes, rubles are not a problem.
We'll get the rubles somehow. I'm not sure
we've
exactly.
got lots.
I don't know how we're gonna get the 10 grand, but we'll do that too if we have to. But it'll be worth it. I'll sell
put
something.
Up my own rubles.
Yeah, I've got some rubles lying around.
I got a lot of rubles.
Very quickly, because we have a special guest coming on in a moment, and we have some fun things to do this hour. There was, speaking of the debate, there was a bit of a kerfuffle at Hofstra University where unbelievable price gouging was taking place.
Yes.
You heard about this, right, Kyle?
I did. This was really, really pretty awful, and it made me think of some of the events we've done. Hope comes to mind. I mean, if this kind of precedent is set in direct contradiction of the previous precedent that we reported on this very program, talking about Marriott sending out packets to disconnect people from their own personal Wi-Fi.
Unless they use the Wi-Fi that the
exactly.
venue provides.
They were running a hostile network and preventing people from using alternate sources. So it is now coming up that now they told people, and they were a lot more gentle at Hofstra, but it was definitely the same idea that you have these places, events, venues, they have infrastructure, a certain amount of infrastructure, and then a big event like this comes to town, they need obviously a lot, because there's going to be a lot of people there, reporters and so on and so forth. That then looks to the institution like it's a money-making thing. Mm-hmm. Go on. I mean, it's really fascinating, because this is just a chip at that ruling.
I mean, there's not much to say. Basically, they were charging $200 for a secure wireless internet connection, basically to connect to a network, $200. And it didn't stop there. $150 to rent a lamp.
Yes, that was quoted.
I mean, this is a university. They should treat people a little bit better than that. And I'm kind of shocked that they would do that. I don't think they should get another debate. I think they should move it someplace else. Maybe another university out east.
And I think this flies in the face of the spirit mm-hmm. of an information society. I get that they have paid to create whatever kind of infrastructure they have, but come on, you're having all these people here. Why would you even want to risk press like that? You should just open it all up and say, look, come debate, have discussion. Here's some information. Here's a resource to do your reporting, to do all of that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to charge this weekend. That would be a much better spirit, I think.
Yeah, and the spirit of a university and free thinking and education and
yes.
all that.
Yeah, yeah, and debate and discussion and getting the message out. What would you want to be known as the money-grubbing institution? I've said money-grubbing twice tonight. That charged everybody to do reporting on these things, or the institution that set up a venue to have this discussion thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, so tonight's episode of Shame on You is dedicated to Hofstra University, and they should refund the money and apologize.
They should.
Do you agree, Bernie?
Absolutely. Give the money back.
Okay. Well, that's all we want.
Yeah, and I just as so we run our own network and we bring in infrastructure and we have a great relationship with the venue, and I would really hate for the spirit of working with people that are visitors. You're bringing in a lot of business for an exhibition center or something like that, to have to confront that as an organizer. I know we're going to be talking about an event tonight that probably also has to negotiate some of these things, and for venues to not accommodate and not share the spirit of what needs to get done, but rather just add on more things that they can basically fleece people through, I think is really it's terrible, and it's something that we'll work around to also to the grave.
Well, yeah, it's also something that simply can't be allowed to be precedent. If this goes unremarked, if we weren't talking about this right now tonight, this would become normal, and you'd see it in all venues. You'd see it at debates. You'd see it at gatherings of all sorts.
Yes,
there's a real danger in remaining silent about something like this. So when you see this kind of fleecing going on, speak up and prevent it from becoming the norm.
Yeah, and the distinction here is that they were talking to people directly and encouraging people not to use it. There was not a malicious software or network-based strategy to mitigate people using their own resources. So mm-hmm. that's the distinction here between the ruling that we looked at before.
You could get thrown out if you were caught using an unauthorized network.
Yeah, and in the Register article that I was reading, it talked about some device that they were walking around with, a sort of a frequency counter device or something that just basically shows all the public, the SSIDs that are advertising in an area. So they were basically finding people and approaching people saying, this is our policy, we'd like to ask you to do this, and we are reserving the right to throw people out. That's pretty crappy. Like, that's really bad. Don't do that.
What if Hillary Clinton had brought her own device with her that was connecting to an independent network? Would they have thrown her out?
It doesn't.
Why would everyone? You wouldn't have to broadcast the SSID. It could be.
That's true. You could hide it. No, that's very true, Bernie. You're absolutely right. But you can't take what is in many parts of the world becoming a human resource, have an event, and say you can't use this particular human resource. I can't even draw a parallel. Like, if there was a radio convention and you told a bunch of broadcasters they couldn't talk, I don't know. What do you – I don't know how
you're right. They have no jurisdiction over the RF spectrum and the use of it. However, they can put whatever they want in a contract that vendors or participants sign to get in. But if you didn't sign anything to come in I don't think they can throw you out.
And therein lies the danger, Bernie. That becomes normal in those kind of contractual negotiations. It's going to be met with a lot of resistance from our community.
Thing is, it's a privilege to be able to host something like this, and that should have been enough. And instead of trying to price gouge everybody taint the whole thing, which was a wonderful event otherwise.
And operate like you're just dealing with a bunch of indebted students, you know, back to school. All right, let's rip them off, get it going. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess they're in that mode, and they applied it to the general
public.
They're
like, oh, this is like a big meal card, right? Okay.
All right, speaking of the electromagnetic spectrum, there was an event today that was rather historic. In fact, it hasn't happened for 5 years. Bernie, perhaps you'd like to share with the folks what happened?
Oh, yeah. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, conducted a nationwide emergency alert system test, or EAS. Sure. And this is a system that allows the President of the United States or some other very high-ranking federal official to in Washington or wherever, I guess they could do it from anywhere, announce something that will go out over all radio and TV stations, including cable TV channels, and even satellite channels it's supposed to work through. That's what the test is supposed to be. This is supposed to be like the ultimate warning message from on high. And it happened today at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Did you get a chance to listen to any stations playing it?
Yes, actually, I saw a couple of these on the television, and it was from a primary source or primary outlet. I don't know what it was. It was some kind of distinction, but as you said, it comes from sort of a central authority, a primary authority of sorts that then distributes the message. And it went off over several different channels. We did notice a couple things. I was looking at it with you, E, and it seems like everybody has a different EAS box, and then they get to select a couple default colors and a couple basic settings.
I think
they
get to pick their color, they get to pick their font, they get to pick actually the message that is stated there. But they play a recording, and I think the recording was the same for everybody. But that's what makes it kind of interesting. First of all, Channel 13 here in New York, they completely failed. They just had like a second of something, a little bit of a tone, and then nothing. Most of the other stations, I didn't see every station, but they seemed to pretty much get it. Some stations didn't turn their audio down. So you heard two voices, you heard a commercial, and then you heard some guy saying, this is an EAS test, a nationwide EAS test. Another message said, this is an emergency alert system test for the following counties, United States, which I thought was pretty funny. But the thing that really got me was I was watching one of the Spanish channels, and that went across fine. Everything was correct, except it wasn't in Spanish. It was in English. And I have to wonder, if there is some kind of an emergency, is it going to be an English-only emergency? Have they not planned for this? That's silly.
The answer, Emmanuel, the answer to your question is that it's distributed in both English and Spanish, and the individual stations get to choose which language it is. But those are the only two languages it's distributed in.
But why on earth would a Spanish station not choose Spanish to broadcast an emergency alert system test?
This is what a good test is for. It's to find out if this works right and if you screwed up. Uh-huh. Obviously, the people running the Spanish station screwed up by playing the English message instead of the Spanish message. I noticed a mistake here in Philadelphia.
Wow.
The an LPFM, low power FM station that I'm involved with as a volunteer.
I would.
Someone there screwed WPPM LP. They screwed up. They broadcast the tones, but after the tones, instead of the audio of the warning message, which you're supposed to get from another radio station's signal, you know, that's how they're supposed to work. It's supposed to be a hand-me-down thing from a different station. Instead of that, it wasn't tuned properly, so all I was hearing is like FM radio background noise after the alert tones, and then after about a minute of, like a badly tuned radio kind of noise, then the end tones came on. I'm like, so obviously they need to tune their EAS receiver to the nearest station to get the audio.
This is how we learn.
I would venture to say the Spanish-speaking station you were talking about, E, probably may have been owned, had a parent company that mm-hmm. was maybe not Spanish.
It was Univision.
Okay, I don't know.
Local Univision affiliate, I think Channel 41.
Okay. And then my second theory would be perhaps the engineering people are not native Spanish speakers and didn't even consider what you were saying is quite obvious.
Quite possible.
To most people, why wouldn't you not do that?
Now, I didn't monitor radio at all. I can't receive BAI where I am, unfortunately. So I wasn't able to tell how we did, but maybe people listening in the area, they can report back to us and tell us how. The thing is, if an EAS alert went out right now, we wouldn't know about it. And that's one of the major failings, I think, of this system, because most radio stations broadcast in delay all the time. So you're not actually listening to the air signal, and EAS only goes out over the air. It doesn't go on the stream. If you're listening to a radio station on TuneIn or something, you probably won't hear it. If you're listening to the actual FM or AM signal, then you will hear it. But the person behind the microphone, i.e. us, we don't hear that. So we could be just talking away while there's some kind of commotion going on. And while the listeners might know about it, ironically enough, we don't.
Well, maybe in the future station, we'll have a better ability to monitor what's going on over air.
It's not the station.
But we can't because we're in delay all the time.
Yeah, that wouldn't work either. Bernie, do you have any solution for that?
Well, there's supposed to be EAS equipment at, in fact, I know there is, at the transmitter site at on the 81st floor of the Empire State Building. So, you know, it receives a signal, and then it gets the audio from another radio station through an FM receiver, and then it rebroadcasts it only with special tones for your area. So, you know, it's not something you're going to notice in the studio.
Yeah, but don't you think the person who's broadcasting should be aware of all the craziness that's going on outside instead of just talking to a microphone while something else is going out over the radio? It just seems like that's a system that's implemented nationwide that could be done a little bit better. Most radio stations, I think, are broadcasting a delayed signal, so you're not actually listening to the air signal.
Well, there can be a visual alert. You can have a sign that lights up in your studio saying, EAS test happening.
That would be nice, yeah. We have a sign that says the microphone is on, so maybe a sign saying, hey, Donald Trump just launched a nuke or something. I don't know. Hey, we have to move on. We have a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to do. And this weekend coming up, once again, believe it or not, the time has really, really flown. It's Maker Faire. It's World Maker Faire again, taking place at the old stomping grounds of near the World's Fair in Queens. Sherry Huss, the coordinator, is joining us again on the phone. Sherry, welcome.
Great. Thank you. Good to be here.
I can't believe how many is this now?
This is our 7th Maker Faire in New York.
Wow.
Which is great. And, you know, the probably even the better news is it's one of 200 Maker Faires around the world this year, which is actually even better news.
It's very proud of that. Like you said 200. That can't be right.
I did say 200. We don't produce them all, but we have a producers network. And actually this weekend alone, there are 10 Maker Faires. In addition to World Maker Faire New York, there is a Maker Faire in Berlin, which is great.
Wow.
There's one in Austria. There's one in Taiwan. There's one in San Diego. The wonderful thing is we've created a playbook. We've activated the community, and we've kind of enlisted producers. And the great thing is they're taking making out into their community, and that's pretty cool.
So for the people that maybe have never heard of this before, and they're getting fewer and fewer every year, what is a Maker Faire? What is it all about?
You know, I think Maker Faire at its core, it's this newfangled county fair that pulls together people, and people bring their projects. They, you know, it's community coming together. and it's sharing. And whether it's electronics or food or crafting or drones or Maker Health, which is a new area for us this year, it's people that like to create and make that come and share and get other people inspired to do so. It's a fair. It's a annual occurrence.
It's incredible to me just how it's grown, how big it's gotten.
Yeah.
What's the average attendance at the World Maker Fair?
You know, at the World Maker Fair, we're a little shy of about 100,000, which is great. Our four biggest fairs are Bay Area, which is about 150,000, 160,000 over 3 days. Maker Faire Rome, which is in 2 weekends, and that's definitely over 150,000.
Wow.
And then Maker Faire Shenzhen. So Rome, Bay Area, New York, and Shenzhen are the four largest Maker Faires.
And I don't even know where Shenzhen is. I know China. It's in China, but I don't know where in China.
It's in China.
How big is
it? Kind of right over by the water. Oh, you know, I was at Maker Faire Shenzhen last year, and they had, it was a free event. So that actually helped in kind of like a downtown area. And Shenzhen is really surreal. It's a city that's new. And so there's, you know, like each day you come out of your hotel and it's like, wow, there's a whole new skyscraper there. But it was definitely, it was almost close to 200,000 people.
A city that's new. That city didn't exist a bunch of years ago.
Well, it used to be an old fishing community. It's across the bay from Hong Kong.
Okay.
But what's happened is, like, I've never been in a city, like, there's definitely not a city like it in the U.S. Maybe Vegas, where all the buildings are new and tall skyscrapers.
I see.
Like, I can't, it's hard to get your mind around it, but it's a very interesting and very important city for folks that are manufacturing or, you know, taking products out or prototyping.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of that's kind of the nucleus there.
Well, okay. So rather than Shenzhen, we should probably be talking about the one coming up here.
New York, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, if you had to say something unique about the New York Maker Faire, the World Maker Faire, what do you think that would be?
You know, I think there's a few things this year. There's a whole new area in kind of like new fabrication. And I think Kickstarter is going to actually have a really interesting piece. They've pulled together they're calling it kind of like the Kickstarter Future Fab Lab. And they'll have a really interesting showing of makers. There's a company called Wazer that has a desktop water jet that cuts through like different materials from, you know, titanium to carbon fiber. And I think it's fairly inexpensive for a water jet. And that's happening. They have, other machines like a laser cutter and engraver and a whole host. So kind of seeing how that, like, kind of the new age or the next generation of desktop fabrication, which is great.
Wow.
We have a whole area on Maker Health, which I'm pretty excited about, and bioengineering. And a couple folks are spearheading this area. We'll have sessions as well as we'll have exhibits. So Jose Gomez Marquez, kind of from the Maker Health Labs, will be there. His group was involved in Maker Nurses and getting Maker Spaces in hospitals. And then we have some biohacking and bioengineering. And actually, a woman helped us, Crystal Gordon out of Washington, D.C., actually helped us. She's got making in the kind of the DIY bio frontier. So I'm excited about that. We have some making for good and everything from, kind of like a global perspective of people like Enable and folks that are using technology to take them into kind of developing areas, as well as even something like Making for Good here in New York in the Bronx. A gentleman by the name of Stephen Ritz has something called the Green Bronx Machine, which I have to tell you, I'm so amazed. I met him at Maker Faire in Washington, D.C., and he's getting kids in kind of a not a great neighborhood to start thinking about life and the world through food. So growing it, watching it, he's got hydroponic farms and gardens, and I think even more incredible is he's figured out that actually, he can how to actually take the parents' food stamps and buy healthy food and vegetables. And he said, you know, he can actually get by kids giving them good food, they can start thinking and acting and being better and more participatory as they grow up. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
We've got some maker ingenuity things like Lee Zlotoff, who's the creator of MacGyver, is actually going to be there, and he's got to talk a little bit about some MacGyver secrets. We have actually Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, the old Mythbusters, going to be there on Sunday, kind of talking to us, just like Adam Savage has been talking to the the folks. Adam always gives a Sunday sermon in the Bay Area. It's kind of great to see Grant here 11 o'clock on Sunday talking to our audience as well. NYU, ITP, another favorite, Tom Igo and folks. I don't know if you're tracking what those guys are doing, but he's got his students there, and they've got kind of a whole group of ITP experiments that will be up on the upper balcony of the Great Hall. So in addition, Tom founded, with the Arduino team, so Massimo will be here. Tom's part of that team, and he's got kind of a book on kind of the Arduino projects and making things talk. And education, which has actually been really kind of core of what we're doing and why I'm so excited about Maker Faires, just getting kind of kids inspired from a young age. And so we have a Make Education forum on Friday, trying to get maker spaces into schools. And then throughout the weekend, we have a whole host of things. So, and I could go on and on. I mean, we still have things like, again, probably should tell me to stop, but
please.
Her bio bus, ham radio folks, Raspberry Pi folks, all that's going to be there. Hands-on, still really important to us. So learning to solder, Google's a sponsor of that. In addition to that, Google's bringing some new projects and different things out of their labs and sharing it, which is great. And I'm most excited. We actually have a new sponsor called Burns-O-Matic, which it's like, how great is that? That is like a perfect maker sponsor. So they're going to be there with Burns-O-Matic torches. So everything from food to crafting to soldering. I'm pretty excited about that one. Brand new for us. Intel announced and they launched a Joule board. So they'll be talking about that. But they also bring with them some pretty interesting makers. And I kind of have really appreciated Intel's spirit over the years that they've not only they'll be bringing kind of the DJ community with Bud Rumble and DJ Qvert and a few other folks because they're kind of getting kids interested in electronics through music, which is great.
Yeah, we know
Bushnell,
there's a lot of hacker musicians in the community. It's been really exploding.
Yeah, and I have to say, this is just a side note, but the spirit of, and again, I would never consider myself being in kind of that DJ community. Just, again, I'm not sure why, but I have to say, I so love them. I love their spirit. Mm-hmm. They approach community the same way that makers do, and they fit in so wonderfully. It's just, amazing. It's beautiful, and even in a few of them that I've met, they actually take and teach science and engineering and computer science and that to kids in schools. So their spirit's right there. I think
that's
really great.
That's really cool to hear.
Wow. Sherry, I'm a little concerned because all these things you're listing, is there enough space?
I know.
Is there enough space?
I think we're good with space. Again, maker spirit, we can expand and contract.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were going to say you're concerned about the weather, which I'm concerned too. Trust me, I'm going to every...
We're watching closely.
Yeah, this is the first one, I believe, that's been held in October, but it's only the first 2 days of October, so it could have easily been September.
Exactly.
But the weather forecast does say there's a chance of rain, but rain is not an issue for people that are into creating and playing with technology. There's a lot of indoor activities, but I don't think rain is going to keep people away. And if you're thinking of staying away because of rain, big mistake, because a lot of things will be going on.
I agree with you.
I agree with you.
And I've been watching the weather every day. Our team is the maker spirit. We do a dinner for the makers on Friday night with Gerard, who's our paella guy. And I've seen people standing in rain a few years ago for that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's what people tell me. It's it's New York weather. It's going to it kind of comes through. And I've been watching the weather. And again, we're a rain or shine event. We're prepared. We have a lot of big tents. I think that's cool.
Remember Woodstock. It poured at Woodstock and everybody remembers Woodstock. So, it's one of the best events of your life. I think rain could add to it if it does rain, and there's no guarantee it will.
Yes, and there's probably some young hackers out there geoengineering to make sure that their weekend won't be ruined by rain.
Yeah, we can control the weather.
That.
Yeah, we'll just control it. But we're planning. We're bringing some extra galoshes and ponchos ourselves. So it's just important to be prepared for the eventuality of that.
Exactly.
Sherry, tell us something about the drone zone. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, the drone zone. So you last year and actually in the Bay Area, the guys started out as a game of drones. They then have turned into Aerial Sports League, which is kind of creating leagues around the area. Mark Kornblatt, who's an old-time maker, was actually at the first Maker Faire with us with Sparky, a telepresence robot. Then his other claim to fame was he had Waterboy, which the folks from OK Go performed in at one Maker Faire in the Bay Area. And these guys, Mark and Douglas and team, are now kind of drone world, and they're going to be doing drone racing. So We have an over 200-foot drone racing caged-in area. There are no free flying of drones in New York State parks and city parks, which we know. But these folks are the best that I've seen out there. They're very, very into kind of this kind of racing, and they'll be putting on a great show as well as bringing in pilots from kind of around the region and area. So drones will have a big drone area, and there's also, I'm not sure how it's going to play out yet, but Radio Shack is back, and they're going to have a build-your-own drone area, which will have a free-fly cage for folks to fly their drones in as well. So drones will be actually quite good.
And it's good to get a chance to see that. I'd encourage people to see the agility in some of that aerobatic and speed, because you get the sense of the capabilities of these things a lot more than just maybe your casual experience with a drone, maybe one person just sort of hovering and maybe taking some pictures with it. This is some serious agility and skill that you'll be able to see live in this sort of netted, kind of like something you'd have for a driving range, a big course in a net with hoops. Yep. And things to maneuver through. And these things are fast and they can flip. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. And I will say, if for some reason that you can't make it out, which hopefully that's not the case, but we've partnered with Twitch TV, so twitch.tv/make, and we'll have a whole series of highlights. Caleb Kraft, who you may know is one of our editors, will be interviewing a lot of makers and actually going to different presentations and kind of walking around. So there'll definitely be coverage of drones, and they'll have a whole schedule posted on our website.
And the 2600 van will make it, rain or shine.
Absolutely.
We'll be there.
We might
be taking shelter in it,
good.
But no, we'll be outside and we'll be participating fully. And it's going to be amazing. There's also the yep. Coke and Mentos show, I believe, every day.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're taking that out into the park. So last year we took it out to the Unisphere. So the closing show on Saturday and Sunday, 5:45 to 6-ish. Will be in front of the Unisphere in Flushing Meadows Corona Park.
Wow.
So Stephen and Fritz will definitely be there, and we have a commemorative poster that will actually have them on the front in front of the Unisphere. It's actually pretty cool.
And then that's fairly easy to get to. You have to cross a bridge to get over to that side of
yep.
the facility? Okay.
Yeah, it's actually right over there.
A short
walk.
If
you've never seen the Unisphere, yeah, it's Dale has always encouraged us from day one, like, how can we hack the Unisphere?
Yeah.
And so this is our kind of, this is us getting closer to it to try to figure out how can we hack the Unisphere, which is quite impressive.
Definitely.
And you
yeah.
see this all the time if you drive in the Grand Central Parkway, so this is your chance to actually
yep.
hang out and,
yeah.
and see what a magical place it is. It really is amazing. There's so much land, space to play around in. Do we have directions? You can take number 7 train. I don't know the stop.
Yeah, 7 train, and I'm glad you brought that up because we do have a little this year has been a year of parking for both the Bay Area and in New York. Unfortunately, our parking, which had always been at the Mets City Field, is now taken up by a concert, which is, I think, a Live Nation Founders Entertainment concert called The Meadows with Kanye over the weekend. So it's caused a bit of a wrinkle. We're hoping that this will not happen in the future because it's actually making it a little bit inconvenient for us, but we... Again, in true maker spirit, we're going around and working with the parks, working with the city, and getting parking spaces around there. However, we say, if you can take public transportation, or we've got some deals with Uber, or we'll have a bike valet if you can ride your bike, we've got options. And so getting to Maker Faire is best if you come without a car, especially this year.
And if you do come with a car, do you have any recommendations on where people should head?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, you should we actually have a whole parking channel. Go to our website, Maker Faire, and that's Faire with an E, MakerFaire.com, and check getting to Maker Faire, and those will be the best recommendations. So they've been, the team is updating them tonight, and we have, kind of staying out of the congested area, we've got Queens College, which is like a 3 or 4 minute, or 3 or 4 mile distance from Maker Faire. NYSI might be like a 15-minute. We have shuttles. We run shuttles from there. And then we've got some closer spaces in the park. And so I would say check the website, but honestly, if you can figure out, take the 7 train or the Long Island railroad, that's probably the best way to get to Maker Faire.
Yeah, in past years, I know the 7 train hasn't been operating properly, but this year it is operating properly. So,
this year, you know, that's, I guess, the most positive thing from the concert is that all the city folks are engaged, and the 7 train will be running, up and running. So
here's a possibility, though. Is it possible the concert might get rained out?
I don't know. The concert, I hard to say, you know. It's hard for me to say. I mean, I think...
concert goers aren't as hardy as makers, you know that.
That's true. Good point.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed on
this. I'm hoping that rain will not be an issue. And but anyway, we will be there, rain or shine, and we've been setting up, and it's looking great. So.
Well, now this is the part where our listeners can win some tickets to Maker Faire. We have a few pairs, and we have a phone number for you to call. Now, here's what's going to happen. Please pay attention, because this is only going to be said once. If you call the number that we're about to give out and speak to the operator who picks up, we will be giving away 4 pairs of tickets. You pick a day. Well, you don't have to pick the day right away. You can pick the day when you show up, I believe. It's a ticket for 2 people, so you can bring somebody. And basically pick Saturday, pick Sunday, and come to Maker Faire. All right. I think that pretty much covers it, right? The number to call, and we're going to pick 4 people. So keep calling until we announce on the radio that we have all 4 people. The number is 331-223-WBAI, 331-223-9224. We'll have 4 pairs of tickets to Maker Faire this weekend coming up. You can decide to show up on Saturday. You can decide to show up on Sunday. You can't split it over 2 days with 1 each. I don't think it works that way. Pick a day and
actually, you can.
Can you do that? Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then with those 2 tickets, you can, if you don't have any friends that you want to bring with you, then you can come both days. But, you know, I really suggest that you bring somebody, especially kids.
Yep.
My God, kids love Maker Faire. And, you know, that's the first thing that really struck me the first Maker Faire that I went to, was how enthusiastic, how bright these kids are. And that's the future. If you're in an organization where there are no young people, you're not doing something right. And Maker Faire has got a preponderance of that, and it's the most incredible and inspirational thing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we give away thousands of tickets, and I'm still trying to find folks to write to us. There's a school in the Bronx, an engineering school, that have 400 kids. I mean, I'm going to get them in. Like, they're gonna come, and I've talked to their teacher. But
awesome.
That's a great way, too. I'm looking for, like, even if sponsors want to help underwrite kids in the future. Because
mm-hmm.
I agree with you. These kids are our future. And honestly, when they learn to solder, when they see something, that's the brilliance of Maker Faire, because it's helping them expand their brain and expand their mind and being open to new things. And that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish I had something like this when I was growing up. I mean, I might have gone down a better path.
Who knows?
Again, that number, 331-223-9224. Actually, Kyle, come back in here. Tell us how the contest is going so far. Phone is working properly.
Yeah. Everything seems to be operating just fine.
And okay.
We had a first winner there.
Any questions that we couldn't answer on the air?
No.
No. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to ask for your email address. You have to have an email address, because what we're going to do is email you a code later on, and then that code will allow you to get your tickets.
Yeah, just give us a day or two, and we'll sort it out. But
feel
free.
Probably tonight, maybe tomorrow.
But... Yeah. We'll make sure you know as soon as we finish the contest. So please call, and you'll get your chance to attend Maker Faire.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It's almost life-changing if you've never been to one before, I would say. 331-223-9224. So we have 3 sets of tickets left. So
it is truly, for us, a really... It's an inspiring thing for us. And really, especially this time of year, people go back to work. We have the politics. There's a lot of sort of drudgery and routinity to everything at this time. But when we go to Maker Faire, that freedom to create and the myriad of possibility with all the tools and resources that we have really does come to light. And you see the spirit of accomplishment and knowing that you can make things, you can change the world in your local, immediate world, and the world, the greater world around you. It's such a powerful thing, and I really encourage anyone unfamiliar with this event to check it out. It will really blow your mind.
331-223-9224. Operators are standing by. In fact, Kyle, you should be standing by when that phone rings, and hopefully the forwarding is working properly, because usually we get a ton of calls, and I'm not sure. We're doing it a different way this year. So 331-223-9224. Unless we say that it's closed, it's still open. So you have a chance to win and to get a couple of tickets to this weekend's Maker Faire taking place in Queens and the Hall of Science. You want to tell us, Sherry, about some of the things that are going on inside?
Yeah, inside. Oh, it's actually wonderful inside. We have a lot of the electronics, as you can imagine. There's an area, the Viscusi Gallery that's upstairs will have a lot of like low light electronics. We actually have Bose is there with kind of teaching kids about, they have something called Bose Build, so speakers, so kids can start getting hands-on with electronics, which is pretty cool. We have a gentleman by the name of Bruce Shapiro who has something called Sisyphus, which will be in the lobby, and Bruce is kind of a science museum exhibit creator, so that's pretty wonderful too. And what I was also going to say is, as well, try to find, I mean, see Dale Doherty, who's our founder, and actually he's releasing a book called Free to Make, and it's like how the maker movement's changing our schools, our jobs, and our minds. And, you know, find them and get a copy, maybe an autographed copy for you. And last year, some woman that had won tickets on your show came up and found me and said thank you. And again, if you're there, it's it's a friendly, it's an engaging community, and be part of it. And again, I love what you guys are doing, and thanks for giving an opportunity to be on the show.
Well, you guys really give us a shot in the arm as well, because, you know, mentioning things like that, you know, with 100,000 people there, yet you still have that folksiness, that way of connecting with people. We meet so many of our listeners over there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so many of our listeners come back every year after having been introduced to it. And I think that's just amazing, too. Yeah. So it's contagious.
Yep. It's kind of what it's all about. So.
Yeah. Are they all like that? I've only been to the one here and a mini one out on Long Island.
Yeah, you know, they're all, I have to say, the one thing that when we started this, we had no idea how well it would translate. And I think that's kind of a testament to kind of human nature and our human behavior and spirit, if you will, you know. So they all, I haven't been to all of them, but I do get to go to, I don't know, several a year. And Dale hits more of the obscure ones. He's been to Istanbul and, you know, Tokyo. I've been to Paris and Rome. I mean, it's amazing how much making translates, and that's just, you know, a wonderful part about humanity. So well,
it seems to transcend
positive, optimistic.
Yeah, it seems to transcend any kind of cultural barrier. People
Absolutely.
Seem to be curious everywhere, and kids want to learn everywhere. And I think that's what's
Absolutely.
So inspirational. Bernie, are you
that's
still there?
That's what we need. Yep. Yes, I'm still here.
Do you have any thoughts?
I just like Maker Faire. I've been there several times, and it's a lot of fun. And Sherry, thank you for doing all this work and for offering some tickets to some of our listeners. I look forward to seeing some of you folks there on Saturday. So
wonderful.
If everything lines up right, I'll be there at the 2600 van.
Are there any Maker Faires in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia. No, there's Pittsburgh. I think there might be a smaller one in Philadelphia, a mini one, but there's a wonderful one in Pittsburgh, I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. Well, I think
and
Philadelphia deserves
Spring,
one.
Yeah.
Maybe Bernie, you can help with that.
There's not one in Philly that I know of, but I know people that come up to this one. I mean, it's only a couple hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's too close. Pittsburgh is, you know, far enough away where, you know, people from Pittsburgh are not likely to come to Manhattan or to New York, rather, to Queens, rather. But Philly, it's just a short.
Yeah. Yeah,
and easy to get to with mass transit. We lost Bernie somehow. He just clicked off.
Go
ahead.
We have a school maker fair program that's free. You sign up. So just like there's science fairs in schools, there can be maker fairs. So if you go to our maker fair site and it's like in kind of the global fairs area, like take it to your schools. It's free. It's like playbooks and materials and inspiration for teachers. And the wonderful thing is, like, we're a science fair. There's, like, first, second, third place. All makers are winners. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a wonderful thing to be introducing there, too.
Absolutely. Wow. So this has become an annual tradition here in New York.
Yeah.
and new ones are starting all the time. Where do you see it going? Are these kids going to be launching things into space in the decades ahead and doing all kinds of amazing things?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, it's interesting. This is starting our second decade, and we've started to see kids now that are actually, that, you know, they were little kids, so like, you know, 12, 13 when we met them, and now they're 22 and they're going off and doing cool things. So that's great. And another actually thing is Barnes & Noble has come on board, and they share the same goal as we do in tech literacy with schools. They're doing a mini maker fair in all 660 of their stores over the first weekend in November. And what I like about that is to communities where we can't go to, this is kind of great where the local makers actually have a place that they can go and showcase. It's obviously not on the same scale as this, but it doesn't matter. You know, Barnes & Noble stores are free. We want people to read. We want people to get hands-on. So I love that they're approaching that and have that spirit too. That's the first weekend in November.
I just want to tell people we have given all the tickets away. Thank you, Kyle, for your hard work on that.
No problem. Thanks for everybody who called, and look out for those emails.
Yes. This might be Bernie calling back. Let's just see if it's Bernie. Is that you? Bernie? Okay, now something wrong with his phone. I don't know.
You know, another way to come is volunteering. We have a program called Travelers, and honestly, our staff and crew are the best people out there. They care about this too, and you could, you know, spend a few hours, earn a ticket, get to meet new people, walk around, see behind the scenes. It's not a bad way to get to Maker Faire.
That's great.
That's on our website too.
You really do meet a lot of people when you volunteer. You get involved. You're, you know, shoulder to shoulder with people. You're right there with your getting your hands on everything and making the thing happen. You will have unbelievable success in building relationships and just exposing yourself to different attitudes and different ways of doing things. It's great.
Sherry, what kind of things can people do as volunteers?
You know, we try to match it to what skills people have. So if you like to teach people how to solder, we'll probably put you in the learn to solder tent. We have a whole green. If you're into sustainability, then we have a whole sustainability program so we can help, you know, you teach others and get hands-on. If you want to greet or get information, we actually really try. We call it a traveler program. So if you come and work with us, you'll get a passport. We'll stamp it after you're there, and we hope that you can take it into your community too and then showcase that, you know, that you can do things or, you know, teach people in makerspaces. So we're very, you know, we really try to figure out what someone has to offer and what they want to give and then match them to the appropriate place.
Okay. Well, just to give the final summation here, Maker Faire begins Saturday morning?
That's right. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And each day will end, even outside of our gates. So the Diet Coke and Mentos show at the Unisphere is free. It's free to the community because we also believe it's important to share that too.
It is. It really is. And I think the community really welcomes this as well. I love Corona. I love that area of Queens. And
yeah,
I spent a lot of time walking around and wandering over to Flushing as well. It's really great. I would not suggest just coming and going. Come hang out for a while. And just experience the whole thing, rain or shine. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the 7 train, just take that to, I don't know the exact stop, I'm sorry. But if you go to makerfaire.com, and that's makerfaire with an E at the end, you will have all the information and more that you could possibly want. Sherry, we will see you there.
Thank you so much. Great chatting with you guys. Love what you're doing and look forward to saying hello to you.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Thanks for what you do as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Can't believe it's another Maker Faire. Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's, I meant what I said though. It's really inspiring and it's just cool to just walk around. You could be aimless and you'll bump into things that are just, I don't know, a real hoot, like really thrilling. And you'll be talking to people that are really following what things they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And you'll get a real, just in the way the conference we put on has a lot of information and new stuff, you'll see that. You'll see new stuff that makers are doing, new tools and resources they're using in interesting ways, and it's really inspiring.
Can I confess one thing? I kind of hope it does rain. And you know why I say that? No, I say that because you get to do more when it rains because it's not as crowded. There's more people that you can interact with. I don't know, more unique, fun things happen when things are a little bit inclement, you know, like when the weather is a challenge.
And you're like huddled up under, you know, going from tent to tent, you know, I think it'll be fun either way. And we will, we'll have our own fun. It'll be unique in that sense.
Yeah.
Whatever the nature, natural circumstances that are thrown at us.
Hey, we're out of time, but we hopefully will see you at Maker Faire this weekend. And if not, we'll be back next week.
Either with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
All inferior creatures are to be considered the enemy of the Daleks at this point.
Well, either you're with us, or you're with the enemy.
We all make no one. We are the superior beings.
While he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
My name is Kofi, and I'm an intern at WBAI to help ensure that the station will continue to inform, entertain, and educate the listeners in a unique and critical view on politics, art, music, literature, health, and culture. Please support our upcoming fall fund drive. What makes WBAI unique from most radio stations is that most of all funding for the station is from you, the listeners. So you can definitely have an impact on the well-being of the station beyond being a loyal listener. Just by donating $25, you could become a member of WBAI and be eligible to vote on the local station board. The fund drive begins on Monday, October 3rd, and the phone number to call in is 516-620-3602. Or give to, that's the number to, WBAI.org.
Hello, world! Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show. We can also be heard on each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM, and we take live toll-free phone calls there. And I'm Hank Key in the studio of WBAI in Brooklyn, and you can listen to a live stream at WBAI.org and join me on the air with your telephone calls at 347-335-0818 at any time during the hour to join in on the discussion, ask me questions, share opinions, or just make any comments. relative to computing, though. 347-335-0818. And so what's been new this past week? Well, the big story is Yahoo. They got hacked, and I think we heard about that. But they got hacked 6 years ago, and they ignored it. And when Marissa Meyer took over 4 years ago, she knew about it, and she chose not to do anything. And it's coming out now that when they hired a security expert back in 2014 to do something about it, well, they found that it's going to add to the inconvenience of how people use their products, and it'll slow up the product slightly. And they said, no, that's not what they want to do. But they could have had the security resolved, and they chose not to. And the reason is because to put the security in, it's end-to-end security where not even Yahoo can see what the content is. And they wanted that content to be viewed, to be used for messaging so they can develop some other products. You know what? They lost my trust. I would not want any more Yahoo accounts. And whatever I have, I'm going to just close it up. And I don't know how other people may feel about it. You may have some thoughts on it. I'm taking phone calls at 347-335-0818. And if you have a Yahoo account, tell me, are you going to continue using it? And if you do, tell me why. Well, there's a lot of things that's been happening in the computer end this week. I was looking at an ad, and I scratched my head on the ad. I said, what are they doing, okay? And the ad made no sense to me. What the ad was, it was an ad from Dell on their computer, the XPS 13. And spec-wise, it's a pretty decent machine. It's a laptop unit, but the laptop unit is, this is how they describe it, okay? Weightless, borderless, and limitless. Now, wait a minute. Just a laptop, which is a 13-inch laptop, is weightless? Are they really kidding me, or they mean weightless in space? What kind of an ad is that? And at first I said, well, maybe someone just, you know, it's not really Dell that is doing it. No, actually, Dell uploaded this ad onto YouTube earlier this year, and they call it weightless. And it starts at a measly 2.77 pounds and upwards. Are they kidding me? That's not weightless. Maybe weightless in space. They say it's borderless. I looked at the unit. It's a very thin, well, it's very thin. Okay, you might want to get away and call it borderless. Limitless? I have no idea what you mean. You mean limitless in terms of cost or limitless in terms of, gee, I don't know what they mean. You know, at this time last year, I was asked the question, boy, how much more do you pay for a solid-state drive compared to a mechanical hard disk drive? And I'm talking about the standard consumer item of the 2.5-inch drive or the 3.5-inch disk drive. The 2.5-inch is more notably used in notebook systems, and the 3.5 in desktop. Well, what's happened is that the 2.5 is now the standard, and people have been moving away from the 3.5, so even the desktop units now have 2.5-inch hard drives. Well, I looked at it, and I said, okay, how much more am I paying to get a solid-state drive? Solid-state drives are faster. How much faster are they? It depends. I know that in my case, I've been using solid-state drive now for about 2-3 years, and whereas Windows startup is about maybe 1.5 minutes, you know, it's not when you see the screen. Come on, just give me a break, okay? I'm talking about when everything is powered on and, you know, everything has been loaded properly. It takes about 1.5 minutes. On a solid-state drive, for the same things that I do, about maybe 20 seconds thereabouts. So there's a major savings. How much can you expect? It really depends on your configuration, but it's definitely faster. Well, last year it was about 12 to 1, 11 to 1 in terms of cost. In other words, for the same capacity using apples-to-apples comparison. by apples-apples comparison, I don't mean, you know, take a white label box here and another white label box there from another manufacturer. I'm talking about from the same manufacturer. So what I did was I took the SanDisk solid-state drive, which is now owned by Western Digital, compare it to a Western Digital mechanical hard disk drive. The ratio now for a 1 terabyte is about 3.5 to 1, 3 to 1. Hey, that's pretty good. In other words, I'll give you two examples. The Western Digital Blue 1 terabyte sells for about $60+, and the Western Digital Black 1 terabyte sells for about $70+. So what we're saying is that the solid-state SanDisk drive sells for about $220. So that's about like a 3-to-1 ratio. Now, what's the difference between the blue and the black? The blue has a 5,400 RPM. That means it takes longer to start up the system. And the black is a 7,200 RPM system. For most people, if you can, you know, other than startup, for most people, you can get by with a 5,400 RPM hard disk drive. The advantage of 5,400 RPM over the 7,200 is it uses less power, and if you happen to be using it on battery mode, you're going to pull less power from it. So my recommendation is if you really want the speed, really look at the solid-state drive. A 1 terabyte for about $220, that's pretty decent. And I know my son, he bought a system recently with 1 terabyte hard disk drive, and he replaced it with a solid-state drive. I think he's happy with it. Another thing that I find that I've been getting a lot of email on, and some people have been calling me on it, are, you know, this product or that product. And when you read it very carefully, they're in Kickstarter mode. Well, what do you mean by Kickstarter mode? Well, it's a project that you're willing to potentially, and I use the word potentially, lose that money and get nothing in return. Realistically, what Kickstarter is that, you know, you qualify to, you know, based on that amount of money that you give them, that they ask for, to get that product at a lower price when it finally comes to fruition. But that doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. So the physical hardware may be the reward for backers on certain projects, but your donation isn't a pre-order, nor is it a down payment. It's only the backing of an idea. You're funding hope. I've been getting so many of these, I just ignore them now. Maybe Kickstart and crowdfunding and Indiegogo is the way to go. There's so many of them that you don't know you don't know the credentials of some of these people. In the news, Microsoft has announced that they're reinstituting or reintroducing their on-demand sync system. And for those who have been using Windows 10, they've been calling this the OneDrive file. OneDrive really is the Microsoft storage in the cloud, and it has the ability so that you can sync your folder, your current folder, into selected files into the OneDrive, so that when you make any changes to it, it can go to the cloud, or you can say it doesn't go to the cloud. I find this useful, but they're renaming it, and sometime, maybe a little later, in a few months, they're going to be reintroducing it as on-demand sync. I have to tell you, though, that when I first used it, I was a little, they were not clear on what it was, and I saw my files, my current files in two separate folders. I thought I had an error, and so I can understand why they say, you know, my drive or my current files is very confusing. Unfortunately, I deleted the one that was in the cloud that was sync with my local storage. Fortunately, I had backup, so I just restored it. Then I realized what it was. So I'm glad that they're going to change the name of OneDrive to On-Demand Sync. And that's going to happen sometime in the spring of next year. And so let everyone know about it. And by the way, if anyone wants to join me in any discussion, any topic they want to bring up, listen, we do have a caller. Maxie, can you tell me who it is?
We have Chucky from Brooklyn standing by.
Oh, listen, Chucky, this is the Independent Republic of Brooklyn, huh? But you have to turn down the radio because we're going to get a feedback. Chucky?
Radio's turned down.
Okay, Chucky, how can we help you? Welcome to the Personal Computer Show.
Okay, first thing, I don't have any Yahoo account. I'm glad that you brought that to our attention. And my second thing, I have a HP desktop and an HP laptop. The HP desktop is running Vista, and the HP laptop is running Windows 7. I missed the opportunity to get a free download to Windows 10, and Microsoft is telling me that they are no longer supporting Vista with any operating system.
Okay.
So my Chrome browser is not being updated, and I've been doing some online banking on it.
All right.
Is there